Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
And welcome, everybody, to this week's exciting episode.
You want a pig heart? You want this one here? You want this pig heart right here? I want that one. I like skitty and butter.
South Park reference.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. I didn't actually know what that was. I just thought I'd make a pig sound over the top.
I actually thought that went well with it, to be fair. It actually...
Sound like the episode, or was it more?
It was more like that, but you know what? It still adds a little bit of ambience there. So yeah, I don't mind. I think that's good. Yeah.
Well, you know, you always do these intros on your own. I thought I'd back you up.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. From now on, chuck in the occasional bit of background music, and I think
background music. What, me snorting?
yeah. Background sounds. Yeah, I think that's good. It works well.
Fair enough.
So yeah, how have you been? You all right?
Tired. I think today is going to be one of those days where it gets to like 6 p.m. and I'm going to already wish it was like 9 o'clock because I'm going to be on the sofa like, oh no, I'll wake up.
Yeah.
But it's just been one of those. But I'm on holiday next week, so, you know, all good.
Yeah, can't complain with that. Get into holiday mode.
Yeah.
One thing we did forget to address last week in the No Subject episode.
Oh, what was that?
We obviously had a few comments and things and about the paid advertisement for certain guests.
Oh, yeah.
We never touched on it, but I thought it'd be important just to mention that it wasn't a paid advertisement.
No, the hair episode.
Yeah,
it was not paid advertisement. He was just a good friend of mine that I thought I'd help out by.
Yeah, yeah. And some people found the episode interesting, and I got the consensus by the comments and things. I think some people have spoken and we've listened and they're a little bit fed up with guests. So,
we've got no guests planned for the foreseeable future anymore.
We had a chat about it and yes, to all those that were complaining, we're going to take a break on guests for a while and just have classic Josh and Pirate. Pirate and Josh, Posh and Gyrate.
Yeah. As terrible as that is. Some people like it.
Yeah. So going forward, that's the plan.
We got some... stick to the classic paranormality, our formula.
Yeah, yeah. And we've also had quite a bit of like interest in some of our older subjects. So don't be surprised if we revisit and there's like a mysterious part two of some things pop up.
Yeah, might be.
Stuff like that, because we have had interest. And, you know, it's what Toomsy said, wasn't it? Where sometimes they'll listen to a podcast of ours and then think, oh,
it really wants I want to butt in and say something, but I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, look out for that as well. So we've got some things coming.
Yeah. So what have we got on the cards this week then, Josh?
Well, today, my friend...
Sorry. Just like, I'm already looking at your notes there, and I can see a list of words that you are never in a million years going to pronounce.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've made it exceptionally hard for myself.
You really have.
This week. Yeah, I'm going to give it my best. I even had to practice read some of these names because, or not names, but words, because I wanted to get it as close to being right as I can.
Okay.
I mean, obviously in an English accent, these aren't going to sound right, but I'm also not going to do them in a Japanese accent because that's also not right.
I mean... I probably shouldn't.
No,
it's going to slip out sooner or later, though.
It's such a grey area. It's but today we are doing Japanese mythology and folklore.
How does that keep happening?
Yeah, every time we do a folklore episode,
it's just strange music. Sound,
yeah, yeah, it's enchanting. I like it. Well, in Josh fashion, I've got my notes backwards. So I started writing stories of mythology, and then I found there was actually a little bit of history towards...
Oh, there's actually history in Japan, is there? Okay.
Who would have thought, with all their traditions, there was actually some decent history there?
Yeah, you'd have thought there'd be at least a couple of hundred years, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah. Some of them thousands of years.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read the history first, and then I've got... five of the most famous folklore stories, I guess.
Paranormal ones, obviously.
Yeah, some of them actually are paranormal.
Oh, good.
Some of them are, I wouldn't say silly, because obviously it obviously means more in Japan than it does to us. But to us English folk and Americans and the Western culture, some of it might seem a little bit silly and far-fetched, but it's just different cultures.
Yeah, of course.
And then we've got a little game I'm going to play with you at the end.
All right.
So let's dive in. Anyway.
Yeah, dive in.
So Japanese folklore was traditionally separated into a number of distinct varieties.
Oh, here comes the list.
Right, here we go.
Drum roll.
So Tales of Long Age is known as Mukashi Banashi.
Well done.
Yeah. Sad stories in mythology are known as Namida Banashi.
Yep.
Ghost stories are known as Ombake Banashi.
Obake Banashi. Obake Banashi.
It gets worse.
Sorry, carry on.
It's stories of kindness. This is the one. So right, stories of kindness. Ongoshi Banashi.
Yeah, well done.
Witty stories. Tonshi Banashi.
Nice.
Funny stories. Warai Banashi.
Warai Banashi.
Stories of greed. Yoku Bari Banashi.
Well, no, I'm guessing Banashi means story then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of broken down into different varieties and sections, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
Because I think most countries just have one or two stories, you know, like we've touched on Irish folklore before, and you've got the leprechauns, and it's just one or two. Whereas with Japan, I'm telling you now, there is hundreds of stories. I've just gone for the most five like famous ones
that have
stood the test of time. That Western society might have heard of some of them, but there is hundreds. Like you could do a five-parter on Japanese folklore, but we're not going to do that.
Yeah, you
got to. So Japanese mythology also draws on ancient historical texts such as the Kojiki, which is the oldest recognized book of myths, legends, and history of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Some folk tales and mythology were inspired by two prime divine beings, Izanagi and Izanami, who gave birth to the islands and created the lands of many gods and goddesses.
Right, okay.
And it also comes from, I want to get that right, a lot of the stories have influence from Shintoism and Buddhism.
Yeah.
And some stories also come from other stories that are based in India and China. So there's a crossover there as well. They have some of the same mythology.
Yeah, I think isn't Buddhism originally maybe Chinese, is it, I think?
I think it is.
Japan have like adopted it into part of their culture as well, obviously over many, many centuries.
And I actually didn't know about Shintoism until I was well into my teens. Like, as a kid, I always wondered, like, when you're doing religious studies and things, I always wondered what, like, Asian countries believed in. Like, because it seemed silly to me back then, you know. I'm talking when I'm, like, 9, 10, 11.
Yeah.
I always thought, like, well, they can't be Christian. They can't be Catholic. Like, what? And I never really knew about Shintoism until I was much older.
Yeah, no, I guess I didn't either, I suppose, yeah.
So
it's not something that you tend to get taught about in school over
it's
here.
It's really not,
in England,
is it?
Is it? So.
No. And then at some point, I always just thought, oh, they must all be, like, Buddhists. But
No. But then I suppose, well, Shintoism particularly, there's not many people in Western culture that really know that much about it. Because, like you say, it's based on a lot of mythology that Westerners just don't understand.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, you know, it's not really worth teaching to school kids because they're just going to ask loads and loads of questions that the teachers aren't going to know the answers to.
Yeah, and with Japanese mythology, there always seems to be like a actual real nice life lesson. So some of the stories might sound a little bit ridiculous, but when you look at it from a certain perspective, you're like, well, actually, they're just spreading the word or having an actual life lesson that, you know, Western culture still goes by.
Same with, like, manga cartoons and stuff like that, though, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Usually they've got quite a lot of, like, a deeper meaning to them.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And it's just sort of visually conveyed in a way that they understand in their culture. And we just see it as a cool story with lots of guns and stuff. But, you know, it's to them, it's a whole much deeper meaning.
I'm going to get sidetracked already. but just a side story. My friend Alex, who requested the Kurt Cobain thing, I mentioned him last week or the week before. I asked him once, because he's really into like Japanese anime, manga, all of that stuff. I said to him once, what's the weirdest Japanese like anime that you can think of? And instantly he told me there's this anime where there's this professional, I can't remember if he's a boxer or a cage fighter. Right. But he's like rising the ranks. He's going to be champion or whatever. And he wakes up one day and his punching arm has turned into a Japanese schoolgirl.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never seen that one.
And so. I'm guessing the life lesson there is, you know, like, what does he do? If he continues to fight, he's obviously going to hurt
the girl. Yeah.
Or does he stop fighting and live a life of peace? And yeah, it was
what's
bizarre.
Normally his strongest appendage is turning into his greatest weakness.
Yeah. So again, like, there's just life lessons that you're what? Like, but the fact that he came out with that so quick, I was like, yeah, no, that's probably the weirdest thing I've ever heard of. There you go. It's just different strokes for different folks. So traditionally, Japan had storytellers that would travel across the country from village to village to tell their tales with illustrations on kamashiba paper.
Kamashibai. Yeah.
Kamashibai. I didn't mean to do that. Kamashiba.
And you thought I was going to be doing that all episode.
It just doesn't sound right in an English accent.
It doesn't.
Japan actually also has a long and rich literacy history, and is even credited with the world's first novel, The Tale of Genji.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's pretty much all I've got on the history of it.
Okay.
So I'm going to...
That's all of Japan's history. There we go. Right there.
Yeah, kind of the history of mythology. There's so much to it. Let's go for this one. We're going to go for Momotaro, who translates to Peach Boy.
Right, naturally.
This is, I would say, on par, if not the most famous Japanese folklore story.
Okay, oh, cool, okay.
So
people of Japan, get ready to point out where Josh goes wrong.
Yeah. They'll probably be like, oh, no, you've got that completely wrong. But
all of this one listener that we have over there.
So Momotaro, or Peach Boy, was born from a giant peach. And I know what you're thinking already. Is this just James and the Giant Peach?
It literally was the thing.
It's not, no. I thought that as well when I started reading it. The peach was found floating down a river by an old childless woman who was washing her clothes in the river. The woman and her husband discovered the child when they tried to open the peach to eat it.
Right.
The child explained that he had been bestowed by the gods to be their son. The couple named him Momotaro. Momo means peach, and Taro means eldest son.
Okay.
When he was just 5 years old, he was able to cut a big tree with just an old knife.
When you got magical powers then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. A lot of the... Even toddlers and babies in this have extreme power. Oh, you'll fair see. Enough. When he matured into adolescence, Momotaro left his parents to fight a group of Oni, which are known as demons and ogres. So there's the paranormal part of it.
Okay, yeah.
On his journey to Demon Island, Momotaro befriended a talking dog, monkey, and pheasant, who agreed to help him in his quest in exchange for some of his food, primarily dumplings.
Dumplings?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, they only worked for him for dumplings.
Oh, yeah, because foxes are... Was it? No, not a fox, a dog. Dogs and monkeys.
A talking dog, a monkey, and a pheasant.
And a pheasant, yeah. Oh, pheasants are definitely well known for eating dumplings, aren't they?
Yeah. They love it. At the island, Momotaro and his animal friends penetrated the demon's fort and beat them into surrendering. They returned home with the demon's plundered treasure and the demon chief as a capture.
Ooh.
The story of Momotaro was popularized due to the story being printed in school textbooks during the Meiji period, which is 1868 to 1912. And it's where Western ideas were changed. So at this period in time, this is when Japan started getting more modern and...
Western influence started taking hold in Japan. Okay,
which is what the Meiji period is. Because remember I said that sometimes I do research and I think, I better research that because Pirate might ask me, oh, what's the Meiji period?
Yeah.
And I researched that and you weren't bothered. So... In case you were wondering.
I was more wondering how they actually captured this demon and what they used to, like, you know, imprison him.
I think it was just the super strength of this the dog
and monkey and pheasant.
Yeah. Teamwork was the winner.
Yes, of course.
And during the Edo period of Japanese history. Oh, I'm glad you asked, all right. This is 1603 to 1868, so this is before the Meiji period.
Before the westernized culture started taking hold over there.
Yeah, and so this...
is all still like, turning Japanese, I think I'm turning Japanese, of. I think I think so.
You're not wrong there, because it was mainly when they focused on music and arts.
That was
that period. So, yeah. Yes, famously that song. So Momotaro was born naturally to the elderly couple, but it was thanks to the peach that they regained their youth.
Of course.
The story changed from...
Young as a peach.
Yeah.
So looking peachy.
During the Edo period, the story slightly different.
So. Okay.
So that's that story, Momotaro. That's the most famous one.
Sorry, which period was that story actually from? The Meiji or the Edo?
So the one that everybody knows to this day is the Meiji period. So that was, he was born out of the peach.
Okay.
It was just the story before that is exactly the same, but the only thing that's different is during the Edo period, which is before the Meiji period, they believed that he was born naturally to an elderly couple.
But and they the peach rejuvenated their health. Okay, fair enough.
Yes.
So it was an earlier story than the Meiji period.
Yeah, yeah. Dates back to 1603.
Cool, wow.
So the peach gave him powers. We've done the Japanese brief history there. Yeah. So I'm going to, in no particular order, I'm not saying that one story is more famous than the other. I'm just going to go through them now.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done the most famous. Now this one, this is more paranormal. I think you'll like this one. So we're going to go focus on the Yuki Onna, which translates to Snow Woman or Snowfall Witch. Yuki Onna.
This isn't the woman with the
no.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so. I think it's a very similar name.
It is a very similar name. With the mouth that slits open.
Like, I know the one you mean.
Yeah, do you know that one?
This one is basically an ice spirit. So she has an icy breath that freezes her victims to death.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So there's a couple of very short stories about her. So one story is that a beautiful woman came to visit a man and became his wife from the woman's own desire. This woman was reluctant to go into a warm bath or have a warm shower. And when she was made to go away, she disappeared, leaving only thin, fragmented, floating icicles.
Oh.
Again, I don't know what it means.
Is that the entire story?
Yeah, it's just a little story of...
Oh.
the second
kind
one's
of an anticlimax.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's why I've got this one, which is slightly better. Again, just a short. But the ice spirit that would visit houses with chimneys and ask to heat up by the fire. When it got to late at night, she would try to leave the house to continue her journey through the night, and the old man would attempt to take her hand to stop her, because obviously, middle of the night.
What are you doing going out there in the middle of the night, woman?
It's frozen out there. You don't want to go out there. And then when he would touch the hand, she would turn into ice cold and into a whirl of snow and disappear.
Oh.
So that's Yuki Onna.
Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, Snow Witch.
Oh, it's the same story, but like a different version of it, is it?
Yeah, okay. I just thought it was worth mentioning. There's actually quite a few stories of the Yuki Onna. I just wrote down a couple. I found a page that probably had like 6, 7, 8 of them that was just different little short stories.
Lots of many people got visited by the Yuki Onna.
Yeah. I suppose I would have it down as the equivalent of maybe like Slender Man, like a little bit of a mystery, you know, like living in the woods, and some say he's evil, some say he's good, some say, you know, he's just
you
a
do
character.
Know that Slender Man all came from a computer game, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but it's like it's got a bit of a mystique about it, hasn't it? A bit of a mystery.
Yeah, it's turned into a urban legend, I suppose, rather. That's what this is, I suppose, the Yuki Onna is an urban legend, isn't it?
Yes.
When the energy is high and the music is right, pushing past your limits becomes that much easier. Take a reggaeton run or strength class on the Peloton tread, and you'll quickly see why these are the workouts you've been searching for. Every day brings new challenges from expert coaches who train and speak the same language as you do. Level up your workouts with Peloton Tread. Find your push, find your power. Peloton. Visit onepeloton.com.
Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
Yeah, yeah. So it is a bit like Slender Man. I couldn't think of another example kind of like Slender Man in a way.
No, it's an easy one to hook onto.
The Boogeyman?
The Boogeyman.
Yeah. Yeah. So now we've got this one. This one you might have actually somewhat seen maybe in pictures or paintings.
Ooh.
Do you remember ever seeing like a traditional Japanese painting or drawing of a baby holding a giant carp? It's quite a kind of famous...
Can't
image.
Honestly, remember a baby holding a giant carp? No, I've seen plenty of pictures of carp.
Yeah, not even like a man holding a giant carp. Right?
Yeah, probably. People holding carp. I didn't necessarily associate it as a baby though.
Oh,
yeah. You know, maybe that's just either bad artistry or my interpretation of that artistry. I don't know.
Well, that man wrestling that cup is called Kintaro, and he is the Golden Boy.
Oh, right, okay.
This is actually based on a real story, like a real person.
Oh, this is actually a true-to-life story, then?
Some of the things that happen, you could probably question whether they actually happen.
Oh, a Hollywood-style true-to-life story.
Yeah. Okay. If you want to break it down, there was probably a normal man without magical powers that this story is based on.
That was called Kintaro.
Yeah. But the real person this is based on is Sakata Kintoki.
Okay.
That's the real person. And I'm pretty sure he was a samurai. So this is based off
everyone was another samurai myth back then today, weren't they?
So born with superhuman strength, he was raised by a mountain witch on Mount Ishigara. He was created by a clap of thunder sent from a red dragon called Rajin.
Right.
As a toddler, he was the size of a sumo wrestler.
Bloody hell.
And made friends with lots of animals and even learned their languages and could talk and speak to all of the animals. So he was like Dr. Doolittle.
Sakata Doolittle.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. His prized possession was a hatchet and was able to smash rocks into pieces, uproot trees with his bare hands and bend tree trunks like they were twigs. Kintaro had many adventures, fighting demons, beating bears in sumo wrestling, and helping the local woodcutters bring down trees with ease.
With his bare hands.
Yep, bare hands. He met a samurai. Oh, so he'd done all that, by the way, when he was a toddler.
He
was like 5 years old when he'd done all that.
No actual mention of a samurai sword at this point, then.
No. So here's the bit. So he met a samurai, trained in martial arts, and retired in Kyoto. Okay. And he actually changed his name. And that is when he retired and became a samurai.
Right.
So as he grew up and became an adult.
That was his retirement from being a juvenile sumo wrestler, tree fella.
Yeah.
Okay, so, as you do. Yeah.
And that is based on a true story. And I would argue that this could potentially be the most famous story or on par with the other one. Because there is statues, books, anime comics, toys, and even special candy based off of Kintaro.
Okay.
They have basically a festival for him. And on May 5th, every year, it's known as Children's Day. And rooms are filled with dolls and toys of Kintaro, so children will grow up big and strong like he did.
Oh, no, actually, that rings a bell. That does ring a bell. I've vaguely heard of that before, but about the Kintaro, Children's Day or whatever, yeah.
I think a lot of people, if they type in Kintaro into Google or any other search engine, the image that
there'll
pops up...
There'll be a lot of Google images there.
It's him with a carp, wrestling a carp, holding a baby carp. There's so many variations
of it. Got a bear in a headlock.
Possibly, yeah. But that's quite impressive for a toddler to wrestle a bear.
Beating it with a tree.
We're going to get on to... I think we should go for this one, because this is... There's two really good ones that I should... Yeah, go on then. I'll do this one, and then I'll save, in my opinion, the best story for that. I don't know. It's hard, because one of them's more silly, but
just
the other one... Let's go for... I mean, the pressure is on. You know what? Let's go for the capper.
Okay.
We'll go for the sillier one.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a kappa by the toe. Do they have a toe? Let's find out.
I think they do. So kappa, known as river tiger or horse puller. And this is where I was saying about the dangers. Well, not the dangers. So there's life lessons behind different mythology.
Yeah.
This one is the dangers of water to children.
Oh, okay.
So
fair enough.
This whole mythology is based off of trying to keep children out of currents and rivers and dangerous waters.
Yeah.
So kappa can become harmful when they are not respected as gods. They are typically depicted as green human-like beings with webbed hands and feet and turtle-like shells on their backs. A depression or dish on their heads that retain water, and if this is damaged or its liquid is spilled or drying up, the kappa is severely weakened.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so okay. Fair enough.
So if you can imagine...
So they've got to walk along very, very carefully then, not tilting their heads to the left or right. Otherwise, they're severely weakened.
Yeah, they're scary-looking things. Hmm. The Kappa are known for loving cucumbers. And love...
That's probably not a sentence I would have written down.
Yeah. They love cucumbers, and they love...
Get the cucumber love.
What they're doing with those cucumbers is no one's business.
We don't want to know.
But they also love to engage in sumo wrestling.
With cucumbers?
Possibly. It's not me to say or judge. They are often accused of assaulting humans in water and removing a mythical organ called the Shiryokodama, which is found in the human anus.
Okay. Which resembles a cucumber.
Maybe. So they're mischievous little buggers. Now, festivals of cucumber as offerings to the Kappa. And traditionally, family members would write names on cucumbers and send them downstream to prevent harm to the families.
Oh,
so
right, yeah,
I assume
yeah.
the Kappa would say, oh, there's my favourite delicious snack. Oh, it's...
I'll leave that family alone because they've written their name on a cucumber.
They've given me this lovely peace offering.
Yeah.
So,
now I'm going to stuff this somewhere.
Yeah. Fun fact, there is a sushi roll out there that is just cucumber in the middle of rice and seaweed, and that is called Kappamaki. Kappamaki. Yeah. And that is named after the Kappa.
No, fair.
Because they love cucumbers.
What is the name of your drink today?
That would be Kappamaki mint and lime.
Aqualibra, yes. Yeah, you have cucumber in your drink.
I do, specifically for this.
Oh, fair play. So you pay homage to the Kappa.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I've gone for the green headband.
A watery cucumber drink.
That's a tongue twister.
It is. didn't really get it right myself.
Now we're on to the last story.
Here it is.
Urashima Taro, and this is by far my favourite one. So I think it's pretty good. So a fisherman who was fishing away on the beach, on the docks, and he ends up rescuing a turtle from a group of teenagers and kids who were being very horrible to the turtle.
Poor turtle.
So the turtle...
His name was Raphael.
Or Donatello.
Or Michelangelo.
Mm, there's a few turtles to choose from. Mm. But this one was a female turtle. Yeah.
Okay.
And the female turtle carried him on her back to the Dragon Palace beneath the sea. And how were they
wanted to visit there?
How were they able to do this? I hear you ask.
With a diving suit, I'll bet.
Oh no, my friend! The turtle gave him gills.
Naturally, because turtles have gills as well, don't they?
Mm, yeah, yeah. So the turtle granted him the wish of gills, and there. He was entertained by Princess Otomi. And Princess Otomi lived in the Palace of the Dragons. And you're looking at that like I've said it wrong.
It looks like Otohima.
Do you speak Japanese? How do you know that's not Otomi?
To me, it looks like Otohima.
Well, we'll meet in the middle. Otohim. Now, Princess Otomi... I don't know what it is. Otohima.
Let's call her Otto.
Otto, yeah. Princess Otto. She lived in the Dragon Palace with her father, who was the emperor. And Urashima Taro, I'll just say Taro. Taro lived with Princess Otto. That's even more confusing because it doesn't go with my notes, but I'm going to press on. He spends what he believes to be 3 days with the princess in this palace. But he gets a bit homesick and he says, I need to leave. It's been great. Thank you for the lovely 3 days.
I can't do my normal fishing from down here. I need to be up on the bank to cast my line.
Yeah. He wasn't surrounded with friends and family. He only had Princess Otto and he thought he wanted to go back to his old life. So he goes to return. But as he leaves to get back on the turtle's back to then go back ashore, she gives him a lovely jewelry box and says, whatever you do, do not open this. This is forbidden. You will regret it. Do not open it. This is just a gift for you to look at to remind you of me.
It's kind of a bit like Pandora's box then, I guess.
Oh, maybe that's where it came from. Maybe. Who knows? So then he returns to his home village and he discovers it wasn't 3 days, it was 300 years.
Wow.
Every day was 100 years that he had been gone.
Quite a mythological thing to happen, isn't it?
Now, upon this discovery, everyone he knew was gone. Dead.
Gone. They were gone. Yeah. He hadn't even got any kids?
No, nothing.
No, well, did he have kids to start with?
No, no.
Who knows? So, yeah, no family members left.
No, so...
No friends.
He thought, well, I've got nothing now, so I might as well just open the box. I wonder what's in it. And that's when he discovered that inside the box was his youth. Oh. So he instantly aged.
How did he find that out?
The princess.
The princess.
Yeah.
Which she appeared in the box and told him.
I think she might have popped up as a turtle and been like, oh, that was your age.
Ah,
I don't know.
Right, okay. And then he just instantly gained 300 years and died.
Yeah.
What a happy ending that is.
Yeah, yeah.
So the moral of the story is don't go under the water with turtles.
Throw more.
If you see a turtle's head showing, don't jump on it.
Yeah. Don't save a turtle. If anything, buy more six packs of beer and throw the ring pulls into the ocean. Or get some plastic straws from eBay, chuck them in the ocean as well, because they like to go up the noses. It's not a very happy ending, but I thought it was quite a cool story. Just a couple of little notes before we get into a little bit more, because we are pressing on for time a bit. Tonno is Japan's city of folklore. That is where a lot of the stories
are from. Yeah, Tonno.
There is also a little bit of real-life mythology with Japan that has inspired stories. So you've got Jomonsugi, which is a 7,200-year-old tree that has been dated. It's been proven.
I can believe it, to be fair, yeah.
Yeah, and it's one of five of the oldest trees in the whole world.
Yeah, I can believe it.
They've also got Rabbit Island, where there is just an island that is filled with rabbits, and they're not sure how it became so infested with rabbits.
Captain Cook, I'll bet.
It's a tourist spot.
Mm-hmm. I have heard of that.
Well, Rabbit Island?
Yeah, Rabbit Island, yeah. They don't encourage people to feed the rabbits.
Oh.
Oh, crikey. It was like some experimental place. I think it was like a nuclear experimental place or something like that. And it all got abandoned. And the rabbits just took over the place. And now they've got like a small resort there. And there is just an abundance of rabbits. But tourists are only encouraged to feed them like certain stuff that they can buy from the from the rabbit feeding shop on as part of the hotel. They're not encouraged to give them just like, you know...
That makes sense.
Stuff from their lunchbox or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, I've heard of Rabbit Island. Yeah, that is an actual real place.
There's actually a few of these islands around the world, isn't there? Because you've got Rabbit Island, you've got Snake Island, which you can't even go to.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's a Cat Island where there's a place somewhere where there's just so many cats.
There's the Pig Island.
Pig Island.
Caribbean.
Yeah. So there's a few of these places with just one type of animal. Let's just play a quick little game. Because we've got one more kind of story that I think a lot of people would have heard of. But let's break it up and play a fun little game before we get to the depressing stuff.
Do we have a Josh's quick game show theme music, or do we not bother with that this week? You haven't preloaded it up on your phone.
Yeah, if I'd prepared, we could have done. But I feel like time has passed now, so I'll just come up with my own.
Josh's smorgasbord of animals from Japan.
So you are, my friend, going to name or try and guess Japan's top 15 sacred animals.
Okay.
In no particular order. Rabbits and turtles. Oh, hang on. I need a pen to cross it off as you do it. Hang on. Right. Rabbits, straight in. You've got one.
Turtles.
No, turtle is what we've already
discussed.
Turtle is not on the list, my friend.
Dragon.
Yes.
What else have we discussed? Let me think.
The first story, he had a certain friend, a couple of friends.
Monkey.
Yep.
Pheasant.
No pheasant.
Dog.
Yep. He's got a dog.
Okay. If we go through like the Chinese zodiac, we might get a few. Might be pig, sheep.
Oh, yeah, you've got pig. No sheep.
No. Cow.
No cow.
No cow. Rat.
Yes, rat is one of them.
Snake.
Yes.
Crane.
No.
Tiger.
Tiger.
Lion. No, not lion.
No. There's a couple from the zodiac, or three, that you're missing.
Crab.
No.
Goat.
Yes, goat is one of them.
Cockerel.
Oh, yes, you got another one.
At this point, I suppose it would be.
You've got five left.
Five left. Five animals. And these are sacred animals.
Yes, this is what's considered sacred in Japan. A lot of stories about them. And
is there a type of lizard?
No, surprisingly, there actually isn't.
Okay.
No. I think two of them are still on the zodiac, if that helps.
Not really. I can't think of ox.
Oh, yes.
I said cow. I mean, how close did I have to be? No. Ox. Okay.
Ox and cows are so different.
Okay. So are dragons and Komodo dragons different?
I mean,
I guess Komodo's not on the list anyway, is it? No. So, well, that's more Indonesia. So,
And they both have dragon in the title.
They do both have dragon. Oh, what boat? No. Mantis. No.
Can I give you a clue?
I've already done crane, haven't I?
I don't trust this animal.
Eels.
No. I don't trust them.
Worms, either. Fish. There's got to be a type of fish.
No, it's a mammal. It's a big mammal. I don't trust him.
Bear?
No.
Dog? No.
Well, you've done well.
Horse.
Oh, that's the one I don't trust.
Horse. Yes, horse. Okay, yeah, I'll give up on that. What have I got? Four left.
You know what?
Yeah, we're running for time.
You got 12 out of 15.
That's not bad, is it?
So the last three, fox, deer, and cat.
Why didn't I say fox? I was going from the earlier story, and I said fox when I was trying to think of dog earlier on as well.
Yeah.
What was it, fox and what?
Fox, deer, and cat.
Oh, I should have guessed cat as well.
So 12 out of 15, that's pretty good.
12, that's not bad.
I like it. Okay. So now that we've got this fun game up.
You at home, how many did you get? Probably more than me.
So now we move on to something that is very up our street. It's a bit mysterious. We'll put out a little disclaimer there. There is going to be talk of suicide. So if you have been affected by suicide, then
stop listening now.
Yeah, you might want to tune out. But we can't mention Japan and mysteriousness and mythology without.
I know what you're going to talk about.
Go on then.
Is it at the foot of Mount Fuji?
It is.
And is it a type of forest?
It is indeed.
Then you go ahead, my friend, and introduce it.
Do you know the actual name of the forest?
I know the English version of the name.
Go on then.
The Suicide Forest.
Yes. Yeah, it's got the name Suicide Forest. And this is actually going to be the one word that I probably struggle with the most. So, Okigara Forest.
Okigara, yeah.
Okigara. And it is a sea of trees at the base, just to the left of Mount Fuji. It is 12 square miles of hardened lava, which absorbs sound. So there is a sense of solitude and enchantment.
It's eerily quiet there, isn't it?
Very quiet. It's also known as Home of the Ghosts. It's one of the world's most used suicide sites, mainly by hanging. About 75% is hanging, 25% is drug overdose.
Right.
They've now put signs at the head of the trails urging suicidal visitors to think of their families and contact Suicide Prevention Association.
Right.
With numbers and details and stuff.
Yeah, fair play.
And it started in... No, it got the nickname in 1960 of Suicide Forest.
Oh, was it?
Okay. With a fair few deaths, but it really started to ramp up in like the early 2000s.
I was going to say, I thought it was from like the 90s or something that it all started going on.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's when it really started, I suppose, making a name for itself in a way. Like the numbers started ramping up. And in 2002, it broke the record and had 78 suicides in a year.
In one year. Okay, fair play.
In 2003, it jumped up massively from 78 to 105.
Okay, yeah.
Within a year. And then it carried on inclining. So in 2010, not as bad, but there was 54 confirmed, but there was over 200 attempts at suicide they found survivors and people, you know.
Oh, so by this point, like the government or the officials were getting on top of it now, and they're sending out like regular search parties to scour the area and pick up any bodies or, you know, people who had failed, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So that was 2010.
In 10, what was it, 12 square miles of forest. Yeah. That's a lot of forest to get lost in, isn't it?
Yes. And I actually read somewhere as well that they have their own kind of like section of like police that will scour the forest and look for bodies and recover them and things. Some of them, if they're not familiar with the forest, they will actually have like a wench and they'll tie string or chain.
A wench. A winch.
Winch, yeah. I don't know where wench came from.
Keep an eye on me, woman. Sorry.
Oh, that's actually pretty good to even. Yeah, so they would have a winch so they could walk into the forest, and then all they've got to do then is just follow the string back out or whatever. Yeah, they've actually stopped publicising the numbers of suicides in hopes it will decrease suicides.
Yeah, not to encourage people, basically. Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, since 1970, there have actually been annual searches as part of the forest, but it wasn't until 2010 that they really ramped it up and really wanted to make a point of like, we don't want this to be suicide forest anymore. We just want this to be like, you know, like a nice forest that is not known for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that is pretty much all there is to suicide forest. Is that I've read some stories where people have gone out to suicide forest, and with the lack of sound and just how it is, we've not been there, so we don't know. The stories I've read. People feel enchanted to go in and commit suicide. Like, it's also known as an enchanting forest.
Is it something, do you think, that people go there with the intention to commit suicide, or do you think they go there just to experience it and then sort of become overwhelmed with depression or something from the...
Mm. Funny that. I've actually read stories of both.
Yeah.
So I read one story where a man went out there to commit suicide, and he found the forest so peaceful to the point where he could hear his own heartbeat because it was that quiet.
Yeah, quiet, yeah.
And he got so distracted and focused and calm, focusing on his heartbeat, that he didn't actually end up committing suicide. He actually stopped him in his tracks and thought, what am I doing? And he actually didn't go through with it.
Fair play.
So I think it is actually just a combination of both. Maybe some people go there because there is that reputation. They know that more than likely they're not going to be found. That was another thing that kept popping up, was some people go to suicide forest on purpose thinking that it's 12 square miles. It's their body isn't going to be recovered, therefore it's easier for their families and friends to just disappear. And it's quite a dark subject, but it's very mysterious. There's a lot of mystery behind that, and the fact that there's no sound. Like, there was another story I read where there was friends...
Kind of absorbs sound, doesn't it?
100%, yeah. There was a story of like a couple of friends that went out there, and they were only, you know, not even that far into the forest. They were just on the edge because they didn't want to get lost. And again, they didn't want to commit suicide, and they were just enchanted by this forest, you know. YouTubers have been out there to check
it out. It has a dangerous allure, doesn't it?
Yeah, and they were less than half a mile away from each other, and they were shouting at the top of their voices, and they couldn't hear each other because the sound was just getting absorbed into the ground and into the trees.
Yeah, or even just a couple of hundred yards to do that in a place like that, wouldn't it? Yeah.
It's absolutely nuts. But yeah, that's what I got for this week's episode on Japanese folklore. There's so much to Japanese folklore. It's so good. It's such a good subject.
It is, yeah.
So many stories.
Definitely very interesting. And that, like you said, that's just the tip of the iceberg. We haven't scratched the surface, really, have we?
Yeah, yeah. I just thought I'd go for a few stories that I found funny or interesting or quite cool. So
if there's a podcast out there that's a Japanese version of ours, reach out. Maybe we'll do some, you know, we'll come on your podcast, you'll come on ours, and we'll share some mythology.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? I don't know what mythology England has.
Oh, we've got Baldy Rector. We've got, you know, all the ones that we've done so far. You know, we've only got one listener in Japan, so we've still got plenty to conquer over there.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. But Japan's actually the one place in the whole world that I really want to go to.
I know you did. Yeah, you said earlier.
If I won the lottery or a big sum of money, the first thing I would do is book a holiday to Japan.
And you can help Josh Wade in that by joining our Patreon. No, I'm joking. But yeah, I mean, yeah, that is the end of the episode. I guess we've got to put it to the paranormality rating, although which one or how... how do we put this to the paranormality rating? Because that is just
How much do you like Japanese folklore? How did it make you feel? Do you feel great about it? Do you think, oh, there were some lovely little stories in there?
I think there's definitely interesting stories. I've always been captivated by Japan.
Mm.
Particularly when I was younger and growing up, by the martial arts side of things, and like, you know, the samurai and all that sort of thing, the honor.
Yes.
So they've got a very different outlook on life over there. And,
yeah.
You know, particularly compared to Western culture, a much more honorable way of life. So yeah, I'm going to give them a solid 9.
Mm.
9 out of 10.
I think that's fair. I absolutely love Japan, and I was a big fan of Bruce Lee growing up.
And I like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And
Bruce Lee isn't Japanese. What? Bruce Lee isn't Japanese.
No, he was Chinese.
Yeah. Well, I love Japan.
Mr. Miyagi was Japanese.
He was, yeah, yeah. It's because you said martial arts, and I thought, oh, yeah, I did grow up with Bruce Lee. But, yeah, no, he's not.
A Karate Japanese. Kid?
Yeah, the original Karate
Kid. The original Karate Kid, yeah, yeah.
None of this Jaden Smith rubbish.
That wasn't even karate.
Yeah, and I don't even get started on that.
Yeah. Yeah, let's not get started on that.
I just love Japan in general. I'm up there with you. I'm going to make it easy. I'm just going to give it a solid 9 as well.
Yeah, 9 out of 10 average. That's awesome.
Yeah. I hope I get to go one day. I really
You will do one day. You will do. When the podcast takes off.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll do a world tour.
Yeah. And we go
Romford.
Imagine if it did get to that point, but we still just had one listener in Japan.
We're coming all the way over to Japan for you.
Yeah. And there's one guy that's like, yes.
So look out for that listener in Japan. You will be queuing up on your own at the venue. And we literally run out of time, so there's no call to action this week. And so until next week, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
And this has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
When the energy is high and the music is right, pushing past your limits becomes that much easier. Take a reggaeton run or strength class on the Peloton tread, and you'll quickly see why these are the workouts you've been searching for. Every day brings new challenges from expert coaches who train and speak the same language as you do. Level up your workouts with Peloton Tread. Find your push, find your power. Peloton. Visit onepeloton.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? Well, check this out. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.